Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we got big news, big breaking news that came out yesterday afternoon that we're going to talk about in a little bit more depth here later this hour of the show. In fact, the CEO and executive director of the Public Power Council, which it covers the entire Pacific Northwest, is saying, said this, quote, "We are calling on the entire Northwest congressional delegation to stand up for the region's electric grid and the communities dependent on clean, reliable hydropower." They basically believe that this secret backroom deal that was brokered between the Biden administration and between these environmental groups in the Pacific Northwest, where they want to tear out these Snake River dams. This is the exact quote from the Public Power Council, which is a bipartisan organization, by the way, representing several states. They call this the single greatest threat to the vitality of the region's hydropower system we have ever faced. The single greatest threat to this hydropower system in the Pacific Northwest that we have ever faced. Anyway, we're going to get to that big news, talk about that in more depth here later this hour of the show. Mark Lambrecht is the head of government relations for the Montana Electric Cooperatives Association. He's going to give us this news that's being shared by the Northwest River Partners, which is a coalition of agriculture groups, utilities, labor organizations, and businesses from across the northwestern United States. But Mark's going to join us around 9:40 to talk about this in a little bit more depth. In the meantime, let's have some fun. Let's cover the other news of the day as we take your phone calls. Phone lines are open here with Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk. All you got to do is call this number, 406-294-0970, or you can message us on our Montana Talks app. I don't know about you guys, but tonight is the big debate. The big debate between California Governor Gavin Newsom and Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. I'm very excited for tonight's debate. I've thought most of these so-called presidential debates so far, I don't know, they're just kind of a sideshow. I haven't taken them that serious, especially when Donald J. Trump's not on the stage. But also to me, when you have like 8, 9, 10 candidates on the stage, is it really a debate or is it more of a candidate forum? Whereas this is going to be 90 minutes head-to-head. Sean Hannity is hosting this debate between California Governor Gavin Newsom and Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. Steve Moore with the Unleash Prosperity has a great roll-up. Just look at the numbers, the difference between a red state like Florida and a blue state like California. Anyway, Steve Moore in the Unleash Prosperity hotline says how Governor DeSantis can knock out Governor Hair Gel. I'll share some of these numbers because I think there's a very significant, you know, Montana analogy with these stories as well. We'll get to that first thing here right after the break, and then we'll jump right into your phone calls, 406-294-0970.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
How Governor DeSantis can knock out Governor Hair Gel. The headline alone in this Unleash Prosperity hotline is great, but wait till you hear some of these numbers comparing and contrasting Florida and California. But really, what we've seen in Florida is similar to what we've seen in red states like Montana as well. People are flocking to red states like Florida. They're flocking to red states like Montana, as we all know, right? And they are fleeing blue states like California. So, you know, a lot of it is Gavin Newsom's policies, failed policies themselves. But frankly, they're seeing the same failed policies in other blue states across the left coast and elsewhere across America. So that's why I'm looking forward to this debate tonight. But anyway, I'm going to share some of these numbers here in just a second. But first, let's start with your phone calls. And let's take you to Jordan, Montana. We got Richard first up on the phone lines from Jordan this morning. He wants to talk about the dam topic, about the dams. And the Biden administration reportedly brokering a backroom deal to tear down these Snake River dams. Richard, what's your thoughts? Thanks for the call.
Good morning, Aaron. I'm actually in Billings this morning for a doctor's appointment. But this, you know, dam debate has been going on in the courts on this dam topic for since damn near 50 years. And the strange thing about this is the Indian tribes, you may not remember, I'm a little bit older than you are, but every time the lawsuit comes up by the tribes to sue the federal government and remove these dams on all the, on the Columbia River drainage and the lower Snake River, it's always been about the detriment to the fishing industry for the tribes. Now, the face of these lawsuits have always been the Yakima Indian Nation and the Dalles Indians in Oregon, but they're backed by dozens of other tribes all over the United States. They're the ones that have always funded these lawsuits. But the funny thing about it is, and the most interesting, is the Democrats have always been opposed to all of that. They've never backed it because they knew that those two states would lose thousands of jobs. And they never wanted to be the party of thousands of jobs lost.
They didn't want to tear down the dams. In other words, just like coal, you know, if you were from a coal state, didn't matter if you were Democrat, Republican, you stood up for coal, just like you'd stand up for wheat, et cetera. Same thing in Washington and Oregon, that it was always bipartisan support for hydropower production. But now we seem to be at a turning point here, don't we?
Yeah, indeed we do. Also in those lawsuits, it was named, that was the fishing industry is what they used as the pinnacle for the lawsuit. But in every single lawsuit, it was about taking the Snake River and the Columbia Rivers back to what they were 200 years ago. That tribes have always wanted to do.
Some
really,
tribes.
It had nothing to do with
not fish. All, some tribes. Yeah. Yep.
Correct.
Yeah. Well, that's why what's really interesting. So what we're going to hear later this hour of the show when Mark Lambrecht joins us is as I understand it, the Montana tribes have been totally ignored, totally left out of this secret agreement. And, you know, some of the more powerful tribes, apparently, according to the Biden administration in Washington state, for example, they're going to get to benefit. They tear down the dams and then they get to benefit from some green energy scams. But the Montana tribes have been totally left out, totally iced out, and are not going to benefit from this at all. But yet will suffer under increased power rates, potentially, and more.
Indeed. And that's the biggest concern is the Biden administration is agreeing to do something that the courts have always said no to. Even the highest courts have always said, you cannot legislate in this way and remove dams through a court system.
Yeah.
And now Biden's going to give them what they've always been told no to. Just with a stroke of a pen.
Yeah, it's crazy. Well, you know, speaking of courts, we had Attorney General Austin Knutson in the House yesterday. I hope there's a way that he and other attorneys general can file a legal challenge to block this secret deal based off of what we're hearing already to protect these hydropower dams. This is a threat we've been talking about for quite some time now. All right, before we get to the next break, let's go to Right on John in Bozeman. Right on John, what do you want to share? Thanks for the call.
It's my birthday, and I can lie if I want to. I'm looking at getting a hold of and having a meeting with the Montana Electric Cooperatives to better their systems and everything like that. The people that have been talking about smart meters, if you have solar cells on your home and everything like that, or any kind of electrical generation, you'll be able to get a reduction in your monthly bill. That's what they're mainly designed for, is so that it keeps the electric people safe, and it's much better than they think it is.
So, so when you're referring to the smart meters, I believe that's with Northwestern Energy, not with the electric cooperatives, where, apparently there's a deadline coming up for Northwestern Energy customers in places like Billings where you can opt out of these newer meters, but you think it's not as big of a threat as what we've seen in places like Denver or elsewhere?
No, because if you're creating energy on your at your house or your business, you can actually get a reduction in your costs. It will read the to and from, and it has a shut off, so that if somebody is working on the lines, they're going to be safe.
They can do that remotely as well. Very interesting. All right. Well, right on, John. Thanks for calling in. Happy birthday to you, by the way. Thanks for calling in. Phone lines are open. Back after this.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, we've got some phone lines available for you right now. If you want to call in, you got something you want to talk about, or you just want to jump in on the conversation, 406-294-0970, or you can message us on our Montana Talks app as well. And then in just a few minutes, we're going to chat with Mark Lambrecht, the Director of Government Relations from the Montana Electric Cooperatives Association, talking about this news. In fact, here was the headline from the news advisory that we got yesterday from Northwest River Partners. This is an outfit that represents really kind of a coalition of some tribal organizations, some businesses in the Pacific Northwest, electric utilities in the Pacific Northwest, labor union organizations in the Pacific Northwest, and all coming together to raise concern. Here's the headline: secret agreement between U.S. government and anti-hydro plaintiff groups represents the greatest threat for the region. Kurt Miller, the executive director of the Northwest River Partners, said of the secret agreement, quote, "These U.S. government commitments would be devastating to the millions of electricity customers across the region that depend on the affordability and reliability of hydropower. As written, it hands the keys to anti-hydro parties whose stated objective is to dismantle the entire system. The outcome would gut the region's decarbonization efforts." And talking about how the higher energy prices will hurt the very same vulnerable groups that will be negatively affected by climate change. That's the quote here from Kurt Miller. But yeah, phone lines are open for you. 406-294-0970. Plus, I got a great message from a listener in Lewiston, Idaho. That's right. You have Lewistown, Montana, and then there's Lewiston, Idaho. Taylor gives us some good perspective here as well. Back in the phone lines we go. Travis in Big Fork, thanks for the call. What's on your mind?
Yeah, how you doing?
Doing great.
You know, I wonder, too, all the Democrats and the liberals, you know, clean energy, clean this, windmills, solar panels. I thought hydro was a very clean energy. I've never seen a smokestack on a dam. And, you know, I've seen like Glen Canyon Dam and Hoover Dam. And also it preserves our water for if we need it. And another thing I heard on the radio yesterday is they're going to start protecting the Wolverine and northern Montana, Rocky Mountain forest. And here we go again with shutting down more forest and, you know, making everything good for an animal, you know, that is probably doing just fine without them involving in it. But, yeah, the hydropower thing. To me, that's very clean energy. Why are they so against it?
No, you're exactly right. Hydropower. I mean, if they are so concerned about CO2 and carbon dioxide, well, you're right. There's no sweet CO2 emissions coming off there. I mean, you could say they have a carbon footprint because, you know, the cement that's used to build the dam itself. Okay, you know.
Well, what about the windmills?
Windmills use a ton of cement at the base for the platforms. You've got big metal hunks of, you know, that are being used for the turbines.
Yeah, and they need the petroleum to make the blades and the windmill themselves.
That's right. Now, a German company has apparently come up with a wood composite windmill that they can create that they claim is even cheaper than the metal ones. Well, that, I mean, that makes sense, but the point being is, even no matter how you want to calculate it, you still need reliable power as backup. So that's why you still need coal or natural gas, firm baseload power to back up any of, you know, or hydro. You need something reliable to back up the wind or the solar, but they want to tear that out. And they claim that it's because of the fish, but yet that's not a good answer anymore either.
You know, I'll say, if we could just harness all the hot air that goes out of their mouths, we could probably run the whole country on it. But anyways, I'll let another speaker get on the phone, and you have a good day.
Hey, thanks. You too. All right. Hey, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. Thanks for listening to KJJR. So Taylor in Lewiston, Idaho, he listens in to the show through the KJJR app. Through KJJR, even though he lives in Lewiston, Idaho. Anyway, Taylor sent me a message. He says, yeah, back in the day when Rush Limbaugh was on the radio, he said, I couldn't get Rush Limbaugh on my station here in Lewiston, Idaho. So I found it on KJJR in Kalispell. And then while he was there, he's like, hey, I really like this Montana Talks program now, too. And so anyways, great that we got folks in Idaho even listening in because they like the conversations that we have and the fact that we take your phone calls and more. But Taylor says this, in the years past, the reason they wanted the dams removed is because of the salmon and the steelhead had been reduced. And then upon returning from the ocean, they didn't have a way over the dams. But that has since been addressed. And we are getting bigger runs for the fish. He says, I live in Lewiston, Idaho, and the subject just got again raised its head because of the president, because of Joe Biden. All right, let's see. Back into the phone lines we go. Sean in Libby. Speaking of Western Montana, hydropower, hey, you got it right there in your backyard. Sean, what's your thoughts?
Yes, sir, you bet. Sure is. Simple solution to this, if without tearing down the dams, why don't they just engineer fish portals with a bypass system or a check valve system to allow the fish to get upstream without even tearing down the dams?
Well, we all know it has nothing to do with the fish. Just like blocking a natural gas power plant in Laurel, Montana has nothing to do with the environment either. Natural gas is the reason we've lowered our carbon emissions in America. But yet the climate kids who are behind the climate kids lawsuit in Montana just filed a brief at the Montana Supreme Court to block the natural gas power plant in Laurel. It's because it has nothing to do with the environment. They don't even care about carbon dioxide emissions. It's about shutting down Montana jobs. It's about stopping development. Just like they want to kick the ranchers off the land in central Montana, the same people that support the American Prairie Reserve are the same people that push this Hopi changey, climate changey garbage.
Well, then we need to organize a little better and fight back a little better than we are. And I think the governor, Drew Forte, is doing a good job at that. But we need to band together and start fighting back a little bit more seriously, I would say.
Well, I am very encouraged based off of the partners and the organizations that have come together to speak out against this secret agreement, and Mark Lambert will tell us a little bit more here in a few minutes, but I'm pleased to see that there is a broad coalition of people that are speaking out against this secret agreement, because unfortunately it seems like, you know, what used to be nonpartisan, what used to have, you know, widespread support, whether it was coal or hydropower, we've noticed how some on the left have gone very radical.
Well, if they could present this this idea of a fish portal with a bypass system and a check valve system for the fish, then that weakens their argument for tearing down the dams, I would think.
Well, it sounds like they've already figured out ways to help the fish population. So the issue seems to be moot, but it's kind of the red herring that gets thrown out there anyway, oftentimes by the radical environmentalists on the left. Sean, thanks for calling in. Thanks for listening in, Libby. Great to hear from you. Next up, let's go to Kevin in Billings. Kevin, what's on your mind?
Well, I have a lot to say about this. First of all, this has been talk, like one caller said, I think since the 70s. This conversation is nothing new. I think the problem is it's being brought to light now, and let's remember what FDR said. Nothing happens overnight. It happens in a vacuum. So obviously this has been talked about, but I would encourage you to go read the book, The Great Reset, from Glenn Beck. He briefly talks about how he was able to get his house in Idaho mostly off the grid, not entirely. And, yeah, you can probably do a lot with solar energy and all that with your house, but how many people can afford the panels and all that? And, yeah, you'll still need hydro dams or whatever. I think we should use all of the forms of electricity, but no one's talking about something else. Apparently, there is a way, and my dad found this out through research, generators. Apparently, if we really were that serious about going green in our society, we would have generators that would somehow generate electricity based on the earth turning. I don't know how this works. My dad told this to me. And apparently, there's been people who have been killed trying to bring this to life. So there are other
we've got plenty of energy resources available. The problem is, I think you hit the nail on the head. We have an administration in Washington now. This debate's been going on for decades. They've been wanting to tear down the dams, but we had bipartisan folks who stood up and said no. But now we have a radicalized administration in power in Washington that wants to tear something else down. Haven't they torn down enough in the 3 years of the Biden administration? Or torn down our southern border, torn down it's crazy what all has happened here. All right, let's see. I'm looking at the clock. Let's get to Frank in Evergreen. Frank, what's on your mind?
Hi. Going back to the 60s, you know, we're going back 70 years. There was a bigger threat to the western region's dams across North America. That was the north. It was called Nawapa. And in May of 64, John F. Kennedy would sign into make it a mandatory. He would sign it into law, that act, and it would have breached all those dams to bring water to California, and western Montana would be all underwater. And this was, this is all facts. And it cost about $1 billion for the study.
Huh. Interesting. All right. Well, we already got to take a very quick break, and then Mark Lambrecht should be with us right after this. Frank, thanks for the call. You know, interesting people talking about, FDR built dams. Biden wants to tear them down.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordland.
The 68th Montana Grain Growers Convention and Trade Show is underway at Montana Expo Park in Great Falls. For the second year, the P&W Canola Association and Northern Pulse Growers Association are in partnership with the Montana Grain Growers in hosting this year's event. Clayton Lohr is a young farmer from Shelby who serves on the Montana Grain Growers Board. And he says including canola and pulse crop producers in this year's convention once again is key to the success of Montana agriculture.
At the start of this, you mentioned profitability. And so I have tried just about everything. Being able to collaborate with these organizations, I have grown pulses in the past. I am the typical young progressive farmer here. A couple years ago, I intercropped chickpeas with Roundup Ready Kochia. So that was a cool experiment. But it's just with some of these new markets coming up, we've learned a lot about renewable diesel stuff with the canola, like Karen had mentioned. There's just going to be a lot of opportunity, and it's good to keep an open mind. I mean, I still love we eat more gluten always, but it's cool to be able to work with these other organizations.
And the Montana Grain Growers Convention, along with the meetings of the canola and pulse crop producers, will continue here today in Great Falls at the fairgrounds. I'm Lane Northland.
issues that matter to Montana. Statewide, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Let's see, Ken. This is Ken, I think our Coast Guard veteran friend, if I'm not mistaken, out of the Bozeman area. Am I right here? Anyway, just got an email from, I think, Ken in Bozeman. He says, hey, Frank from Evergreen said that JFK signed a document in 1964 to send water to California from the Northwest states. I remember that President Kennedy was assassinated in November of 1963, so... how did he sign a document in 1964? I wonder if it was LBJ, I wonder. I'm not sure what the specific reference was there. But Ken, thanks for that email. Thanks for sending that during the break. Real quickly, I'm gonna give you some very quick numbers, and only because I said that I was going to get to this, so I better at least say something about it. As you can see, though, this secret agreement talking about the hydropower dams in the Pacific Northwest is a very big topic of conversation. We have had several callers already call in, and that's before we even got to our guest here this morning. So a lot of folks are very concerned about this news. Real quick, with the governor, with the Florida v. California debate tonight, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis versus California Governor Gavin Newsom. I find this fascinating because you remember the summer before last, both DeSantis and Newsom were in Montana on the same weekend. The same weekend that the two were sparring with each other over TV ads about, you know, should people move back to California from Florida? And it was funny because, you know, here was Gavin Newsom saying, hey, you should leave Florida and move back to the free state of California, which is laughable in its, on its face. And while they were doing this, Gavin Newsom was hanging out in the red state of Montana on the same weekend that Gavin Newsom, or that Ron DeSantis was here. So it's going to be a fun debate tonight. But how Governor DeSantis can knock out Governor Hairgel. Look at these numbers alone from Steve Moore. Net domestic migration. Florida gained 1.84 million people. California lost 1.85 million people from 2013 to 2022. Net inflow of income from other states, 2015 to 21. Florida gained $129 billion of income. California lost $73 billion. Government spending per person, $8,800 per person in Florida, $14,700 per person in California. Unemployment rate, 2020 to 2023, 4.7 in Florida, 6.6 in California. They've got a higher poverty rate in California. They've got way more, over 150,000 more homeless residents in California than in Florida. A 45% increase in homelessness in California from 2013 to 2022, a 46% decrease in homelessness in Florida. Average gas prices at the pump in Florida, $3.01. California, $4.90. Those are some Biden tester gas prices there. Highest income tax rate in Florida, 0% because they don't have an income tax. Highest income tax rate in California, 13.3%. The debate is over before it even started, if you ask me. Well, let's get to this big story about the hydropower dams at risk now. Apparently, according to a secret agreement coming out of the Biden White House, Mark Lambrecht is the director of government relations for the Montana Electric Cooperatives Association. Mark, thanks for joining us. A lot of folks are very concerned about this news.
Well, good morning, Aaron, and thank you so much for having me on here. So I know you brought this up with the listeners before I came on here, but I just wanted to provide a little bit additional detail. So some quick background, Idaho Congressman Mike Simpson a couple of years ago introduced legislation to breach the lower Snake River dams to assist in recovery of salmon, steelhead, and other fish species in the Columbia River Basin. That legislation never really gained traction, and so in a parallel path, a number of environmental groups headed by Earth Justice, states of Oregon and Washington, and four tribal nations in the Pacific Northwest sued the federal government to change the way that hydroelectric dams on the Columbia River system are operated to assist in that salmon and steelhead recovery. So in just the last couple of weeks, we heard rumors of a secret agreement that was on the table. We weren't able to actually see it. It was highly protected. In fact, members of Congress were even prevented from seeing it. And so ultimately, yesterday afternoon, four members of Congress from Oregon, Washington, and Idaho released the document. And so we were actually able to see it. It's 37 pages long. And what's troubling about it is it makes serious commitments from the United States government about future management of the dams on the Columbia River system and dollars going to a new entity headed by tribal nations that would replace the power provided by those hydroelectric dams. You might ask, why is this important to Montana? So Montana Electric Co-ops and other public power in the Pacific Northwest, by federal law, have the preference right to that power produced by these carbon-free hydroelectric dams. And so if we are to change the operation of those dams, which this agreement calls for, you lose that access to those megawatts. So for Montana, that means about 330 megawatts. That's enough power for more than 100,000 Montanans. That's equivalent to a pretty large natural gas power plant is gone. So what they're talking about doing, this is a commitment from the federal government to these tribes in the states of Oregon and Washington to fundamentally change the operation of these dams. So that means moving more water, putting more water through the spillway, keep it into, make it look more like a run-of-river operation rather than a reservoir that uses the water judiciously to produce hydroelectricity. Replace those lost megawatts with tribally owned and operated renewable generation and transmission. The expectation there is that that would be wind and solar, which, as you know, is not baseload generation that's available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, like hydro. So instead, this would be very difficult in the winter time, especially when our co-ops depend on that baseload generation when we have extreme cold events, when that power is available. Instead, these co-ops will have to go to this new tribal entity and pay for whatever price they want for that variable generation, or go out on the open market, and if they can even find that generation in those critical times of extreme weather events, pay through the nose for that power to come in. And we're at a time right now where electricity reliability is a major, major issue.
Wow.
I think I've talked to you before. We've come very close to rolling blackouts in Montana a couple of times over the last several years. This is just going to make that problem much, much worse.
Well, and you pile on to the problems that we're already confronting now, where you know, the radical environmentalists targeted Colstrip 1 and 2. They took out Colstrip 1 and 2. Montana used to be a net exporter of power. Now, sometimes, Northwestern Energy has had to import power and buy on the spot market, which drives up electric rates and things like that. And so now you look at a similar thing happening where, okay, even if the dams remain in place, eventually they want to tear them down, but even if the dams remain in place, they're going to force the spillage of more water without hydropower production, and now you lose that huge load of power that now you have to buy separately. So, like you say, that would be as if we lost a fully up and running natural gas power plant. Which, oh by the way, the environmentalists are still trying to block a gas fired power plant from being built in Laurel at the same time as well.
A couple of other things to consider here. It's not just the power. So those dams have reservoirs and water management that is critically important for other uses. First of which is barging Montana grain out to the coast. That would become very problematic if these reservoirs were drawn down too low. Water supply for a number of municipalities along the river, irrigation for farmers, and also recreational uses in the area. All of those uses would be severely impacted if this agreement were to be enacted. So what we're doing is we're encouraging every one of your listeners to immediately contact your member of Congress and ask them to get involved in this issue. Get a hold of the White House and say, stop. This does not work.
And I would assume that this needs to get congressional approval. So even if they don't, if our delegation doesn't call for it to be stopped, it seems like this would need to get congressional approval before something this drastic could actually take effect. Mark Lambrecht, if you can, hold that thought. We'll come back to you here right after our shortest break of the hour. We'll come back to Mark Lambrecht, the Director of Government Relations for the Montana Electric Cooperatives Association, on that question, plus how Montana tribes have been left out of this secret agreement.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, back to our conversation here with Mark Lambrecht, the Director of Government Relations for the Montana Electric Cooperatives Association. Mark, right before the break, you were saying how important it is that everybody across Montana, not just in the western part of the state, the whole state will be affected by this. Everybody gets a hold of the entire congressional delegation, both members of the House, both senators. What can Congress do here? Why is it important that those calls and those emails and those messages go out? Because to me, gosh, something like this borderline sounds like a treaty, certainly sounds like something that Congress should have to give the green light to, but if not block out, outright together, altogether.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, certainly this is making commitments on the behalf of the United States government to this new tribal entity that would own and operate renewable generation and as replacement power for lost production at those hydroelectric dams, and also dollars to the states of Oregon and Washington for fish restoration efforts and other aspects. So there's two things here that Congress can do. Number one, Congress has the sole authority over appropriations. So this document makes commitments that require Congress to follow through on appropriations of hundreds of millions of dollars for those purposes that I mentioned. And secondly, Congress and Congress alone has authority on changes to operations of those federally owned and operated dams or any decisions whether or not to breach them for any purpose. So that's why we're asking Montanans to get a hold of their member of Congress as soon as possible and let them know that this agreement needs to stop. And the clock is ticking. There's a federal judge that is laying in wait for the deadline of December 15th on the decision whether or not to approve this agreement, which we expect that they will.
That's right around the corner. That's like 2 weeks away, pretty much. You know, it's interesting. You were talking about how this is an agreement with the federal government and with the state of Oregon, the state of Washington, and some of the tribes. I'm looking at the list of tribes here. It's a very small list. No Montana tribes were included in this secret deal. They're not even going to take part in this secret agreement. Wow, what a slap in the face to our tribes here in Montana.
Aaron, not only were they not included for any of the supposed benefits of this agreement, what they get out of the deal is paying a lot more for power. You talk about the Blackfeet Nation is an important component of Glacier Electric Cooperative's constituency. Mission Valley Power, operated by the Confederated Salish and Kootenai tribes. They are part of this whole Bonneville Power Administration, Columbia River system. And so they are going to have to find alternate sources of megawatts, especially for those brutal winters that we get in western Montana. And so their power bills are going to go up significantly if they are to lose the preference power that they enjoy from this system in the Columbia River.
You know, it's I am glad to see, though, that there is widespread condemnation of this secret agreement. Kurt Miller, who's the executive director of Northwest River Partners, which includes, you know, a coalition of labor union folks, agricultural folks, business folks, electric utilities like yourselves. There does seem to be a very broad coalition of folks who are speaking out against this.
Yes, there is. And, you know, you consider all of the important stakeholders that were left out of this process, whether it's public power, whether it's grain growers and recreational interests, you know, none of them were party to this process. And so we've all been finding out about this after the fact, and that's very, very objectionable. You know, one of the other things I wanted to make sure I got across here, Aaron, is I think Montanans are with us on this. You know, the Montana Electric Cooperatives Association worked with the Montana Chamber a couple of years ago on a statewide survey of voters on what do Montanans think about hydroelectricity and specifically the lower Snake River dams. And the results were interesting. 83% of the Montana voters support the use of hydroelectric dams. Of those, 62% supported keeping the lower Snake River dams intact to produce electricity. And that supported our work in the Montana legislative session last session, where Senator Mike Cuff of Eureka sponsored a resolution on our behalf, and it earned overwhelming bipartisan support of the legislature opposing changes to operation of the Lower Snake River dams or breaching them. And that also included the near unanimous support of Montana's American Indian Caucus. So I think we're in a good place here in Montana on perspective on this issue. We just need to take this next step here and ask our members of Congress to go to bat for us.
Well, and I think it's just common sense, too, from a hydropower dam standpoint. I mean, we not only understand the importance to keeping the lights on and providing electricity production, but whether it's Fort Peck or Yellowtail or elsewhere in the Flathead, we understand the great recreational benefits from it. And oh, by the way, where is some of the best trout fishing in the state? It's on the Bighorn River, right downstream from a dam, and how the river can help maintain, how being able to control the flow can also help with the fishing as well. So it's just a common sense thing here in Montana, but we don't get a lot of that in Washington, D.C., that's for sure. Mark Lambrecht, head of government relations for the Montana Electric Cooperatives Association, thanks for getting this issue on everybody's radar today. And, yeah, hopefully everybody will get on the horn with their congressional delegation here right after this. Mark, thanks for your time once again.
Thank you, Aaron. Have a great day.
All right, you too. And, by the way, if you check out the Montana Electric Cooperatives Association, check out the MECA Facebook page elsewhere, you can get engaged with them if you've got more follow-up questions or need help with the language to use, etc.